Hello all and welcome back. I hope you're all having a brilliant start to the week and 5th of January. Excellent start to the new year. I think you can get away with saying that up until about the 7th of January. I'm trying the mic on here. Let me know if it's better, worse, or makes absolutely no difference to you. The reason I put it there, this jacket's a bit loud, so I don't want to have too much rustling in the background. Just to give you all an update as well on the Lost Biker Stories. It's taken so much longer than we thought, and we should have known because this took about a year and a half or something like that to make. But it's probably taken a similar amount of time to get volume two ready. It's still with me going through all the stories, then has to go to the copy editor, and we've got so many amazing stories. But I think first half of 2026, volume two will be out. But we've got fully stocked volume one, Lost Biker Stories, if you're interested. That's now also at the British Library, Cambridge Library, and Oxford Library, and Edinburgh Library as well. So if you're at any of those libraries, you can actually check out a copy. Let's begin. Thanks all for watching. Thanks all for commenting. It's hugely appreciated. This is all thanks to you. Best place to leave your thoughts and opinions, comment section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. We'll begin with something that I find really interesting discussion-wise. Genuine question here. Are we all actually becoming as green as we think? There's a common theory here that the younger generations that come through, they're getting more and more eco-conscious, more and more green in every way. I want to challenge that today. I don't know if that's the truth. I want to see what you think about this. This comes in from 7777BTKKK. Freddie, I'm in my early 30s, and I can confirm the boomer who sent in the list of future classics, the likes of the Nissan Leaf, the Harley-Davidson Livewire, the BMW i33, I think they're absolutely insane. People in their 30s now were kids in the 1990s and early 2000s, and the likes of the Triumph Rocket is 100% a future classic. John continues here. Freddie, great thing about the EV Gen Z thing. This is completely unrelated comment here, but this is so common, these kind of inputs about future classics. Motorcycles need an internal combustion engine. That's the heart of the machine. Not some white goods like a washing machine. Nobody loves washing machines, but they love a motorcycle. Fascinating discussion. I was in London over the weekend. It was my nephew's 16th birthday. And I thought I'd ask him, because I thought I may know the answer. So I said, what's it like? Is no one interested in cars? And I guess probably 30% of your class, for example, a vegan. Everyone's really green and health conscious. And he said, no, it's completely the opposite. He said, around my generation, those born between 1986 and 1995, he said, they're all really green and eco-conscious, but actually in my class, I don't know one vegan, and I don't know one person who has any interest in EVs. Not one person. He said exactly the opposite. Everyone wants a really old big engine car, an old diesel, for example, old VW, old BMW, something like that. No one has any interest at all in EVs. He actually laughed when I suggested, oh, you must all like EVs and stuff. He said, no, not at all. No one likes them. So I found that fascinating. The trend towards people favouring vehicles with much less tech. So as opposed to this potentially being a trend where people are wanting to buy classics from a bygone era, it's not quite that. This is a little bit different. This is a trend towards people trying to pick up vehicles and having an interest in vehicles that are less complicated than today's obscenely overcomplicated vehicles. A lot of those pushed onto the vehicle makers from a safety and green standpoint. People are now a lot of the time paying way over the odds for cars in that sweet spot where they've got the modern mechanical reliability, but they don't have an insane amount of tech, where it does, just as John said, turn vehicles into white goods. You think about these cars coming out now, they've got the equivalent probably of about 5 iPhones in there with all the screens, the tech, everything like that. That of course is going to age badly. So it means the vehicles are all going to have a shelf life, just like phones, TVs, fridges, all of these things. You think, right, look, if I get 6 years out of them, look, that's probably excellent. So I've done some research, and a lot of you question my slightly ropey research. So bear with me here. I'm going to start. In fact, I'm going to do this almost exclusively with cars, because I always think the trends with cars start first, and because biking community is smaller, that follows later. But the trends that happen in the car market, we can be fairly sure something around that may happen in the motorbike market as well. Just take a look at some of these residuals. And the reason I'm showing this, just to show the level of interest in the electric cars and the green, what do you want to call it, agenda. It's not that I'm anti-green at all, I'm not. But in the whole green area and how much interest people have in this, in the used market. Take a look at this, for example. Nissan Leaf, 2011 model, and I've tried to keep the mileage really similar and also the year as well. So this is as fair a comparison as possible. The used market shows people's genuine interests in a type of vehicle. The new market does not. The new market is too influenced by governments meddling and getting involved, giving 25% levies and discounts and VAT free on electric cars. And if you buy a car through a company, if it's electric, you get huge savings. New market doesn't tell you what customers want. It tells you what the government want you to buy. The used market tells you what people want. Have a look at this. Nissan Leaf 2011 model, 58,000 miles on the clock, £2,000. Now have a look at a just run-of-the-mill, basic car. Ford Focus, roughly the same mileage and roughly the same year. And it's £1,000 more. And this is the basic, the cheapest, most basic Ford Focus, 1 litre engine, not specifically renowned for reliability or anything like that, but it's £1,000 more than the EV, the eco-friendly in theory, Nissan Leaf. Next up, take a look at this, Volkswagen Golf, the ultimate, in a lot of people's opinions, workhorse. This, unlike the Ford, this is a diesel. These are the cars, in theory, that everyone's desperate to get out of. But I've seen a trend recently where everyone is desperate to buy older diesel vehicles. Before things got too technologically advanced, just that sweet spot of diesels where they made excellent modes of transport, and probably nothing defines it more than a VW Golf diesel, the go-to car for so many people for such a long time. Well, this is, near enough, the exact same mileage, the exact same year as the other two. But look at the price of this. £6,000 for a 15-year-old VW Golf. And this is normal. My friend's looking at a Skoda Superb, 2-litre diesel, and the going rate's about £20,000 for a 6 to 7-year-old Skoda Superb. The prices for these older diesel vehicles as well is eye-watering. I'll do one more to wrap it up here. Audi A3. Very simple engine, 1.2 litre, that's the entry-level engine. 2010 model, 58,000 miles on the clock. Again, I've been as fair as possible, £7,000. Is that not just fascinating to see that these old cars, petrol, diesel engines, are going for 3 times more money than electric cars? Found that so interesting. And also, just to wrap this up, not on a car front, but on a truck, for my American friends, or 4x4 for the rest of us. These prices are booming at the moment. Do you remember when these Land Rover Discoveries were all £800 to £900? Owners couldn't give them away 4 years ago. Now you look at the always overlooked Discoveries, and suddenly prices have shot up by thousands of pounds. Here's one, 103,000 miles. And if you want something Japanese, 98,000 miles, on the clock of this Nissan Patrol, and that's £19,000. I could go on and on and on, but there is a definite trend towards now people wanting to pick up the simpler vehicles, knowing that they're going to be able to repair them and keep them, and that in 4 or 5 years' time, you're not going to have some obscenely big bill where a car manufacturer says, oh, we can't fix this because it's too complex, or this or that or X or Y. People are going towards simpler vehicles. And I like to think I've proved it there. I'd love to hear your opinions. Right. Oh, and I think, just making this relative and relevant, I think this will feed on to motorbikes, because things that happen in the car sector, they usually follow on to the motorbikes. And I think so long as the bike manufacturers don't get too crazy with the new levels of tech, the motorbike industry should be immune, but there will be some sectors within the bike industry that could see a similar kind of thing happening. Right. On now to Harley failures and the ones to watch. So one of the potential future classics named last week was the Harley-Davidson Livewire. That bike has been a gigantic failure. I think a few of you mentioned that 35 Harley-Davidson Livewires were sold last year. Such a microscopic amount, it's impossible for the company to carry on. Huge failure. But it's the huge failures with Harley-Davidson that often end up being the really desirable classics. And Harley-Davidson are famous for having incredibly good residuals on a general level, apart from a few exceptions. This comes in from MFM67. Never forget, Harley-Davidson's sales flops are often the most collectible in later years. Just take a look at the XLCR, for example. First off, the name. XLCR, the CR element in this name, stands for Cafe Racer. Remember that. Let's take a look at it. Made from 1977 to 1979. 1000cc, V-twin engine, Cafe Racer look, stripped back, blacked out, low bars, bikini fairing. This was a Willie G. Davidson designed. It was when Willie G. Davidson was in charge of the design. He had his team around, and they wanted to make a motorbike that could compete with the European trend for cafe races. This is very much a bike, not built out of, oh, how can we make the most amount of money possible, but built out of passion, built out of wanting to get into a new sector, trying something brand new for Harley-Davidson. And I think from the looks of it, they did a really good job. This is a bike that for me has aged really, really well. And imagine this back in the day, the 1970s, Willie G. Davidson and the team trying to dream up a bike that could compete with all of the European competition. Must have been a very exciting project to be a part of. Made for 2 years, and they made and then sold 3,200, maybe even a few less than that. So appalling sales figures. In fact, it was such a failure, that's the reason they only made these bikes for 2 years. A bold attempt, built out of passion, but it failed. And that is exactly why the prices are rising. I mean, I say rising, I really do mean it. If I go onto this website, classicandclassymotorcycles.com, if you want a standard one in okay condition, 6,000 to 7,500. If you want roadworthy and presentable, 12,000 to 15,000. And if you want restored in excellent condition, £15,000 to £20,000 for a motorbike that no one wanted when it came out, that no one thought was good, no one thought the handling was good, it was dynamic, no one thought it was a match for any European equivalents. But here we are now, almost 50 years on, and suddenly, it's obscenely hot property from Harley-Davidson. Let's have a look and see some of the residuals on these. So, interestingly, there was a sale about 7 months ago in the UK, where one in okay condition had an estimate of £5,000 to £6,000, but then ended up winning bid in the auction was £8,964. And then if you go across to the continent, Switzerland, one's up for £13,000, £17,000 in France, and that's it. In all of Europe right now, all I can see are three currently available. That's it, across all of Europe. So these are, I mean, if we're talking about investment bikes, and I know vehicles are never really investments unless you get really lucky, but if we are talking about investment vehicles, I would say that's quite close to as strong an investment motorbike as possible. Moving on. Are you scared off by Norton Commandos? I think, God, was this my bike of the week last week? May have been. Anyway, I was saying how much I like the Norton Commandos and that they've come down in price massively. Brand new ones, about 16,500 to 17,000, down to about £13,500, as Norton desperately tried to get rid of them to prepare for the new era of Norton. This first-hand summary this first-hand insight into brand new Norton Commando ownership mirrors pretty much everyone. So take a listen to this if you are considering a Norton Commando. This is from Shamuso 1596. I bought a new Norton Commando last year and I got a discount of £2,000. So it's £15,000 in total. I bought it because of how it looked, that was 70%, and how it handled, 30%. I knew they were discontinuing the model, so I thought, exclusivity. At the moment, I have four bikes on the road. This, the Commando, is the most soulful and most characterful bike of the lot, and I still love it. Money doesn't seem to matter with this. The downside, I had it 2 days and it broke down. Norton had to pick it up and took it away for a repair 28 days later. No communication. I asked for a refund. Surprisingly, the bike turned up the day after. Okay, the pitcock snapped just after taking the fuel pipe off. Norton don't sell those separately, so they wanted over £1,000 for a new fuel pump. Fortunately, the owner's club is fantastic, and the chap to know is Stuart Bodycoat, a guru. And I bought two metal ones for £20 instead of the over £1,000 bill that Norton were going to charge me. And these products for £20 are far superior. Then the idle sensors needed resetting, so a 140-mile round trip to the nearest dealer. Then the crappest, worst, unbelievable rubbish feature. Block capitals, the bolts that hold the seat on are rubbish plastic brackets and they broke within a month. They need replacing, so I've done a temporary repair. The indicators were first to go and the £5 bargain bin mirrors. So now it's even more perfect and beautiful than when it was brand new. The more flaws, the more I love it. You are a glutton for punishment. No regrets at all. I'd buy it again. Beautiful. I'm eccentric. 99% of people would have wanted a refund if they were in my position. Look, it's definitely retro. It's the worst of British Leyland 1970s. And you have Shamuso perfectly summed up. Sometimes you can't justify anything with common sense. Look, if it does something in there, that's all you need to worry about. And I get it with the Commando. I had a lot of people actually echoing exactly this kind of thing with Norton's. Look, if you want to own one of the Commandos, go out and enjoy yourself, but be prepared. It's going to be a roller coaster. Now, bike of the week. I had three people picking exactly this for bike of the week. This is a bike I've never properly had a long test ride on, and I don't know if I've ever done this as bike of the week, which sounds really weird. So here's a continuation on from the Norton Commando. This comes in from T Netro. The problem with the Norton Commando is that a used Triumph Speed Twin 1200, bike of the week, is half the price for 90% of the bike and a guaranteed support network in the shape of Triumph. And this is from Craig now. Freddie, I still haven't seen you mention the Triumph Speed Twin 1200, but get ready here with a pen and paper if you're interested. Gen 1, in my opinion, the greatest of the Speed Twins. I love it that much that I started a Facebook page nearly a year ago now. I've spent thousands of pounds on the bike. It is my forever bike. I bought it even though I could have bought a brand new Gen 2 model. The Gen 1 still has the right way round. This is important. The Gen 1 still has the right way round forks with the gaiters, so it still looks classic. You can mile munch on them, but they are very capable motorcycles all round. Craig. T Netro, thank you. Bike of the week, let's take a look. So if I just focus, look, they're all going to be great, but if I focus on the Gen 1 Triumph Speed Twin 1200, here's where you need a pen and paper. Gen 1 is 2019 to 2020. Gen 2 is 2021 to 2024. And Gen 3, the most recent, is December 2024 to present. They've got, or the Generation 1 has 96 horsepower. I think the new ones have about 103 plus. 1200cc engine. And the conventional forks were only on the bike from 2019 to 2020 before they went upside down. Gen 1, just again up until 2020, is the only generation of Speed Twin 1200 where it's got the simple ABS. It doesn't have any adjustable changeable ABS. It's just one simple ABS option. And also the Gen 1 is the only model of this before the Euro 5 regulations had to come in. So bikes had to conform to that Euro 5, meaning that they are slightly compromised in that respect because they had to jump through the hurdles of Euro 5. That's an important thing to mention. And one of the big things here, if you're looking at these bikes, you will have heard of this. All the way up until 2024, the Triumph Speed Twin 1200 had beautiful twin analog clocks with chrome surrounds. They were a thing of beauty and a work of art. But from 2024 onwards, Triumph, and the only reason for this is cost cutting, there is no other reason at all that you'd do it. Triumph decided to go for one singular clock that is in no way the premium level of finish and visual appeal of that original twin clock. So if you want the real retro look, you have to go for 2023 and previous. That is probably the one single biggest thing and the reason why people would pick the older model over the newer ones. They are renowned, these bikes, really highly praised, highly regarded for a superb level of fit and finish and exceptional ride quality. And what they do, unlike the Bonneville T120, the T100, the Triumph Speed Twin 900, the younger brother, the Speed Twin 1200 blends super naked-ish level of performance and genuine retro, and it meets in the middle. That's the magic of this bike, according to all of the owners. I've only ever ridden one for a minute, and even in that minute, you can tell this is a special thing. But that's what this bike does, a marriage of super naked and retro. So how much would you have to pay for one of these incredibly highly regarded bikes that came out now, can you believe it, 7 years ago? Don't hold your breath, because these hold the value annoyingly well. I mean, that's probably the best compliment you can get when you see a bike holding its value so well. The cheapest one I've managed to find, 2019 model, first year of manufacture. First of all, let's just look at it. From Millennium Motorcycles up north in St. Helens, with that red tank, it takes me back to when this first came out 7 years ago. I was blown away by this bike. I remember it came out, my first word to my friend Jamie, I said, I need to buy that bike. Genuinely, that was my first word to him, or my first statement to him when I saw it. I thought, it's one of the best looking new bikes to come out in a long time. Very special. 1200cc engine. Don't let that fool you into thinking this is a big beast. It's a tiny bike. It feels so light and nimble. Really, it belies the engine size. You can scarcely believe there's a 1200cc brute under the tank. It's incredible how it hides the weight. 20,000 miles on the clock, so it's higher than a lot of other Speed Twin 1200s. And good, I'm glad, because that means you get it for under £6,000, and this is the only one in the country I've found for under that price. Most are £7,500 plus, so these hold their value, I think £12,000 or £13,000 brand new now. So that's really phenomenal how well it's held its value. And that is an extremely worthy bike of the week. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Really hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I'm going to go inside now with some proper heating and warm up. I'll see you in the next one.